Hello.
Welcome to another edition of Standing in the Gap. Today we want to look at Jesus' love for us, even in spite of ourselves. Jesus' love for us, even in spite of who you are. And we're going to focus on Peter. This is Peter as one of the disciples of Jesus. Peter has two books in the Bible, two epistles, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So we want to examine Peter and his character. Peter has demonstrated his character as being somewhat naturous and kind of fast-handed type of person. We're going to look at Peter and how Peter in his epistles, the first epistle, he speaks in his letters about the fruit of the character. He speaks on how the character will conduct itself as being the rooted part, the main part in submission. So he talks about submissions of citizens to the government, servants to masters, wives to husbands, and husbands to wives, and also Christians being submissive to one another. And so this is all after Peter has failed in his failings. Then he comes to the full understanding of submission and through submission of Jesus in his words, and even understanding himself. It is then that he is able to deal with the area of suffering and the price thereof. Let's look at his writing in Peter 4, 12, chapter 4, 1 Peter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though something strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Now that's Peter after he's come to understanding some things. So who is this Peter, you may ask? Who is Peter? Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 1 and 2. Matthew 10, 1 and 2. And in that pericope of text in chapter 10 reads, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. So Peter was one of the first disciples that Jesus called. And based on that first part of that text, that Jesus gave him power, he gave him authority to heal all manner of sickness and to cast out unclean spirits, demons, if you will. They had power. But yet Peter still was lacking some things, as the other disciples. But again, we want to focus on Peter and Jesus still love for him. So let's go through a few of the things here based off of Matthew's writing about and around Peter. So first of all, let's go to verse 16, Matthew. Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. And when, this is verse, chapter 16, verse 3. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, saying, we just read that he was a disciple. And so now let's go back a few verses here. And so this mission for Peter kind of starts back in Matthew chapter 4. And we'll just pick it up at 18. So this is after Jesus was fasting. He had fasted for 40 days and then he was tempted by Satan. So this is all after the 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. And he's come down, Jesus that is, and he was in Nazareth and he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast. Jesus was. And it says that in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So Peter was fishing, and Jesus called him, and he went. The Spirit led him. So now let's go to Matthew 16. Peter confesses Jesus as Christ. And so here, after being with Jesus, walking and learning, we come to this point. And when Jesus, this is chapter 16, Matthew. And when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, and or one of the other prophets. And he said to them, but whom do ye say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they shall tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Peter was the one that stepped up and pronounced openly that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Says another thing about Peter's character. And at that point, Jesus said, well, it's not flesh and blood that revealed this to you. It was the Father, Christ, God that revealed it to him. And so that made, again, Peter stand out. Now let's look at another characteristic of Peter. This is coming from Mark 8. And they began to teach, and he began to teach, and the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him. That means pulled him aside. Peter took him. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're saying. But right away, The next verse, 33. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, Jesus, that is, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things of men." Did you see that? He addressed Peter by saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He didn't say, "Peter, get out of my face." He was talking to that other side that dwelt in Peter and that dwells in all of us, that nature side, that side that says it savoreth not the things of God, but the things of men. So Peter had that to contend with as part of his character, that he wanted, you know, what we would all want is for our loved ones to be okay, to be fine, and that nothing would come upon them. In our nature to want people and things we care about to be well. But Jesus saying those are things of the earth, earthly things, and not things that the Father would want. And in this case, the Father had already planned this out for Jesus. And Peter is rebuking what Jesus is saying. And that in itself is another part of his characteristic. He was quick to make some quick decisions and open his mouth instead of thinking about what was said a little bit clearer. And now here's another portion of Jesus and Peter's interaction that speaks again to his character. Now, this is coming from Matthew, again, a little farther down, 16. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." And that offended means they would fall back on their ways. They would transgress because of me this night. For it is written, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee." And this is Peter once again. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men may be offended because of thee," meaning they will basically deny him, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter, with his attitude and his bravado, saying, "Though I shall die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all of the disciples. So Peter wasn't alone, but he again was the one that spoke out. And he was very adamant that no matter what, he wouldn't transgress against God and Jesus. However, as we look at Luke and look at the part where Jesus is arrested, we look at how Peter interacts again with Jesus and with the soldiers. Luke 22, verse 47 reads, "When he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and a man who was called Judah, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?'" This is NIV reading. "And when Jesus' followers saw that what was going to happen, they said, 'Lord, should we strike with our swords?'" Basically, should we fight him? Should we try him? "And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And Jesus answered, 'No more of this.' And he touched the man's ear and healed him." And guess who it was that struck the priest, according to some of the other disciples' account of that moment? That was Peter. Peter cut the man's ear off. And Jesus put it back and say, you know, no more of this. And Jesus told him, "If I wanted to, I could summon and pray for a legion of angels to come and protect me. So again, Jesus saying, I have the power to prevent this, Peter. I don't need you to fight the fight. And then comes the part of the denial, this other characteristic of Peter. Peter was very adamant early on that I would not deny you, Lord. And the Lord said, before the night is over and the cock crows, three times you will. And so in Luke 22, as we go on now, and you can also find this in Matthew as well, 26. And they took him and led him, that is Jesus, and brought him to the high priest. And Peter followed afar off. Now the other disciples had scattered about, ran away, hidden. But Peter kind of stuck back and followed. In verse 55 of Luke, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set there together, Peter sat among them. Among who? These were the people that arrested Jesus. These were some of the priests and the high priest and the servants and the slaves of that place that they took Jesus. It doesn't mention in this particular piece of text, but there's other references that Peter had to stand outside and he was with another disciple, maybe not one of the 12, but another disciple who had some relationship with some other priest. And he stood outside, Peter did, while that other disciple went in with some other Pharisees and then came back out to signal for Peter to allow him in because the door was guarded. So while Peter was sitting there, a certain maid beheld him as he sat there by the fire because it was cold, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, with Jesus, that is. And then he denied that he was with them, that is Peter, denying, saying, woman, I know him not. And then after a little while, another one saw him and said, thou art also with him. And Peter said, man, I am not. And then about in the space of an hour, another confidently affirming, because this other guy, his kindred, one of his kindreds was the one whose ear was cut off. That was a relative of his. And he came back in confidently confirming, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And how will he know that? Well, they spoke differently. Judeans spoke differently and had a different tone and dialect than the Galileans. So Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew, and the Lord, who was in the other room in the hall, turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he had said unto him before the cock crow, that thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So the Lord knows us. He knows our ways. He knows our countenance. He knows what's on our minds, our hearts. He knows who we are. He has already foreseen what is to be and what will come. Peter is an example of a man who knew himself, so he thought. He was confident in who he was. He was one who was quick to take action, not afraid. But we see here as Peter, who was one who was confident in who he was shown in a way that even he could not deny himself that who he really was. And he cried and wept, for he had betrayed Jesus, which he so strongly loved, and said that he would never leave him, he would not offend him, that he would not fall back and deny him. And yet he did three times because of his nature, the nature of man, which is, in this case, it was to survive. It was a fear of being discovered. And so with Peter, we learn things about ourselves. But here's the good news, the good part, that even though Peter denied Jesus, Jesus has already spoken that on this rock that I will build my church, and that the Spirit was with Peter, even though the other spirit of the natural was with Peter. So after Jesus was crucified and died and then rose up again, he comes and see his disciples and visit them. And he comes back on different occasions, but this one we'll look at, and let's go to John 21. This is after Jesus crucified, and he finds the disciples. They're out fishing again, where Jesus, where he found them. Verse 3, Simon Peter said unto him, them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into a boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any food? They answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now, verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard this, heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea, just jumped right in and swam to the shore. Now Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And now this is about the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he has risen from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these things? Do you love me more than these things? Meaning these earthly things, food and fishing and your friends? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, Jesus that is, feed my lambs. And he said again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, this is Jesus again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, do you love me? Jesus is challenging Peter. I gave you a task to do when I walk with you. Now, do you love me still after my death and resurrection? If you do, do my work, do my will, go and feed my sheep, take care of the least of these, preach the words, preach the gospel, heal the sick and the poor, and heal the sick and cast out demons. That is the charge, and uphold my teaching and my ways. We must change our way of thinking according to 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 19. We must view our trials and tribulations as opportunity to demonstrate joy and happiness and peace. We get to participate in Christ's suffering, to be part of it. And because of this, we get to share in his blessings as well. We will have an eternity to abide in his presence. An eternity of no pain and no suffering, no heartache, no headaches. There'll be peace and joy. But we must commit ourselves unto Christ and continually to follow his way and not to be offended and rebuke anything that Jesus has told us. And when those around you witness the difference in your life, then they will want to be part of something that only Jesus can offer, and that's forgiveness and eternal life. So we are to allow God to use our past and draw others to Him as we live out our future. That is it for this episode. And remember, God still loves you, even in spite of you being you. He just wants us to be more of Him and less of ourselves. Thank you, and have a good day and good evening.